I want to invite us to turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29 is going to be the focus or the springboard of our study this morning. As you turn there, a couple of special announcements to make. This Friday is our first ever fundraiser golf tournament. So if you want to be involved in that golf tournament, there's information in the lobby. Ask the people in the lobby. Also, this Saturday is our Kingsman Spirit Hike. We're going to meet here at our Paramount campus at 6 a.m. And there's going to be many, many brothers there. I'm believing, I'm hoping at least 50 brothers. So if you have not, you know, made a commitment to go, I encourage you to make a commitment to go. We're going to meet here at 6 a.m. We're going to drive all the way to Palm Springs. We're going to go find the mountain of God. And we're going to go we're going to go leave some things on that mountain. The tickets are about $27 for adults because there's a tram ride and all that other stuff. We're going to eat breakfast together too, I believe. So it's just going to be a journey, a powerful journey together. So I encourage you to get involved. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. I'm going to read out of the NIV version. It says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful." Someone say thankful. "And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Someone say consuming fire. Let us pray over the word this morning. Father God, thank you for your word. We open up your word for encouragement. We open up your word for understanding, inspiration. We ask that you feed our faith this morning, and if need be, correct us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen. My brothers and sisters, we have been studying from the subject, when the fire falls, when the fire of falls. And we have been learning about the description of God as the God of fire, the God of fire. Someone say fire. We are learning that when you study the Bible, there are many different descriptions or names for God, because not one name for God can contain all that he is. So there are various descriptions for God. There are various names for God, because God can be whatever you need him to be at the moment you need him. Amen? God can be whatever you need him to be at the moment you need him. And so we are studying the description of God in the Bible known as the God of fire, the God of fire. Someone say fire. I love that. We serve the God of fire. We serve the God of fire. And we see this in the verse that we read. It says, our God is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. Now, what I love about this verse is that the writer is writing this particular passage to Christians that are being persecuted. Christians that are going through trauma, Christians that are being killed, Christians that are being executed. And he reminds them of the aspect of God, that God is a consuming fire. I love that. He reminds them, hey, don't forget, you serve the God of fire. He's not only the God of love, but he's the God of fire. He's not only the God of power, but he's the God of fire. He's not only the God that heals, but he is also the God of fire. Now, when you study the Bible, you'll learn that the language of fire is connected to God all throughout the scriptures. All throughout the scriptures. For example, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to put it up on the screen. But it talks about God's throne is a blazing fire. I love that image about God, that on his throne is a blazing fire. And then Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15, it talks about the Lord is coming with fire. The Lord is coming with fire. And I'm kind of suggesting to us, my brothers and sisters, that we need more Christians with fire. We need more believers with fire. We need more ministries on fire. We need more churches with fire. Lord, let your fire fall. Let the fire fall. This is the prayer that I've been submitting to you so that we can pray, Lord, let the fire fall. Now, what does it mean when we talk about the fire of God? What does it mean when we say, Lord, let the fire fall? What's happening? What are we referring to? We have to kind of define a little bit about what we mean, because many people only connect fire to hell. The only image that people have of fire is hell. And I want to suggest to us that there are actually positive implications of fire in the Bible. There are positive aspects of fire in the Bible. Fire is not just connected to the lake of fire. Hello, somebody. We have been learning this the last couple weeks that I've been teaching, right? We have learned that fire is the symbol of approval. Remember that a couple weeks ago? I taught that fire is the symbol of approval. That oftentimes in the Old Testament, when they would give their offering, the way that they know the offering was accepted is that fire would come down from heaven and consume the offering. Because why is that? Because fire is a symbol of approval. We also learned a couple weeks ago that fire is the symbol of God's purging. Someone say purging. We have learned that Jesus is not just a savior, but Jesus is also known as the refiner's fire. He is the refiner's fire. And then oftentimes he allows the fire of God to touch us, not to hurt us, but to burn off things in our life that are not supposed to be there. He's the refiner's fire, and there's a difference between the refiner's fire and a forest fire. A forest fire burns indiscriminately, and it consumes or burns up. It destroys everything in its place. That is not the refiner's fire, because Jesus, his fire is with purpose. His fire is with intention. We've learned a couple weeks ago that sometimes in our journey of life, spiritual leeches attach themselves to us. This is not an issue of salvation. This is an issue of you know, complete deliverance. That sometimes spiritual leeches attach themselves to us and they suck the joy out of our life. They suck the passion out of our life. They suck the peace of God out of our life. And sometimes Jesus, in order to get the spiritual leeches out of our life, has to has to burn the spiritual leeches off of our life, because Jesus knows that the leeches cannot stand the fire. See, we're fireproof, but the leeches are not. And even, let me take you a little bit deeper, we learned that in our journey of life, that sometimes we as citizens of God, we fall in love with the things of this world. Sometimes we fall in love with the things of the world and we grab on to the things of this world that we won't let go. And God, he tries to shake us off of some things, but man, sometimes we got a grip on things, or her or him. And God is trying to shake us off of them, but we won't let go because we fall in love with that or her or him, right? And sometimes the only reason why we'll let go is if the refiner's fire. So sometimes God's got to burn things out of our life. Fire is a symbol of God's purging. I want to broaden our understanding this morning about the what fire means as it relates to when we pray, Lord, let the fire fall. And I got a couple major thoughts for us this morning. Someone say, number one, the fire of God is the symbol of God's presence. It's the symbol of God's presence. Often in the Bible, the presence of God is associated with the fire of God. Often in the Bible, wherever God was, fire was. Why is that? Because fire is a symbol of God's presence. It is a symbol of God's presence. Let me give you some scriptural reference for this. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, I'm going to put it up on the screen. It says, "And I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord." He's talking about the city of Jerusalem. And God says, listen, I will be a wall of fire around the city of Jerusalem. I love that promise of God. I love for God to be a wall of fire around my life. I love for God to surround me with his fire, because then depression can't get in. Discouragement can't get in. Low self-esteem can't get in, because and it falls to the ground. Fire is symbolic to the presence of God. In Exodus chapter 2, when God called Moses to deliver the people of Israel, it says that there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the burning bush. Fire is a symbol of God's presence. You don't have to turn there, but in Deuteronomy 4:12, it talks about how God spoke from the fire. He spoke from the fire. When the people of Israel were in the desert, the Bible says that God led them with fire. In Psalm 78, verse 14, I'm going to put it up on the screen. It says that he led them with a cloud by day and with a light of fire. Someone say fire. Fire all night. So I want you to notice this, that he leads them in the middle of the desert with fire, and the fire had a guiding effect. The fire had an illuminating effect. The fire had an energizing effect. We need the fire to fall more in our lives. I don't know if you ever had a desert experience, but it is hot in the desert. It is dry in the desert. It is lonely in the desert. And we need the fire of God to bring us out the desert experiences when we slip into them. I lived in Blythe, California for about 11 years. It was in the middle of the desert, and I called it three cities down from hell. We need the fire of God to energize us. We need the fire of God to light the way. We need the fire of God to guide us. And so when the fire falls, the presence of God falls. When we say, Lord, let your fire fall, what we're really saying is, Lord, we want more of your presence. We want more of your presence. We want more of your Holy Spirit. We want more of your presence in our life. And let me remind us, my brothers and sisters, that the presence of God saves. The presence of God heals. The presence of God delivers. The presence of God sets free. We are nothing without the presence of God. In the 7 years of Chapel of Change life, I look back and I just see over and over again God placing me in situations where I need the presence of him. Over and over again, Moses told God, he said, listen, if your presence don't go with me, I will not go. I remember many years ago, a family from the church called me up and they said, Brian, our 13-year-old relative that goes to your church, his father had passed away. And they wanted me to be the one to tell this 13-year-old boy that his dad had died. And so I agreed to it because I'm the pastor, but deep down in my soul, I'm crying out to God. Like, what do I say? What do I do? How do you act in such a situation? And I'm crying out to God, Lord, give me your presence. Lord, give me your words. Lord, give me your power. And I have to lean on the power of God. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you need the presence of God. So we pray, when we pray, Lord, let your fire fall, we're actually saying, Lord, we want more of your presence in our families, in our hearts, in our marriages, in our ministries. We want the fire to fall. Number two, someone say number two. The fire of God is a symbol of burning passion. It is a symbol of burning passion. In Jesus's day, the city of Jerusalem was the center of God's activity. After Jesus' death, there were two disciples who were walking away from Jerusalem because their expectations had been shattered at the death of Jesus. They thought Jesus was going to be this earthly kind of king that would take away the kingdom of Israel from the kingdom of Rome. But when Jesus died, these two disciples' expectations were shattered and they became discouraged. And so they begin to walk away from the activity of God in discouragement. Anybody follow along? On the day of the resurrection, Jesus, he shows up to these disciples incognito, like he doesn't let them know that it is Jesus, and he walks with these two disciples, he talks with these two disciples, and he holds a Bible study with these two disciples, and they didn't know it was Jesus, but after their walk with Jesus, they say in verse 32, listen to what they say about their experience. They say, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke with us?" Look at what they say. "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to this?" I love this about Jesus, because on the greatest day of history, the resurrection day, when Jesus could have been throwing a party in Jerusalem and taking a selfie about what he did, instead, he hunts down two discouraged disciples and he walks with them and he talks with them, and then he sets them on fire for the kingdom of God. He sets them on fire. What is he doing? He's touching their heart. Why is that? Because fire is a symbol of burning passion for God. Let me remind us that in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4, it describes the Holy Spirit as the spirit of burning. The spirit of burning. And a couple weeks ago, I asked the question, have you ever been in worship and your heart was burning? Have you ever been studying the Bible and your heart began to burn? Have you ever woke up excited about the things of God and your heart was burning? Well, the old folks used to call that holy heartburn. We need more Christians with holy heartburn. We need more Christians whose hearts are on fire for God. We have too many hot heads and not enough hot hearts. And so we need God to touch us with his fire. Anybody follow along? Many years ago in the Yosemite National Park, they used to have an annual spectacular event. And they would gather all the fallen trees throughout the year, and they would push them near a cliff. And there would be bulldozers who would get behind the fallen trees, and lots of people, they would stand in the lower valley to watch what was going on. When the sun would go down at night, the people would light the trees on fire. And then it was their tradition to yell out, "Let the fire fall! Let the fire fall! Let the fire fall!" And at that moment, the bulldozers would push the burning trees over the cliff, and it resulted in a giant kind of waterfall of spectacular fire that fell off the cliff that could be seen for hundreds of miles away, because it was a falling of fire. There was a man who watched the fire fall, and he came back a couple years later, and he asked the ranger, "When does the fire fall? When does the fire fall?" And the ranger responded and said, "I'm sorry, but the fire doesn't fall here anymore. The fire doesn't fall here anymore." Now, sadly, that can be said of many Christians and churches and ministries today. No longer is there a bonfire of praise. No longer is there a bonfire of worship. No longer is there a bonfire of joy and glory. No longer is there a bonfire of worship. There are too many dying flames in the kingdom of God. Too many dying flames. And some of us are like the group in Matthew 25 that said, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. Another translation says, our flames are dying. Our flames are dying. Dying praise, dying passion, dying worship, dying power. No passion, no power. It's called lukewarm Christianity, so-so Christianity, normal place Christianity. Dying flames, no longer burning, no longer excited about God, no longer excited about prayer, no longer excited about serving. The only fire that some people have is in the kitchen. Their fire is going out, and the world has taken away their fire for God. There's so many churches without any fire. No fire in the pews. No fire in the choir. No fire in the pulpit. Charles Spurgeon said, put some fire in the sermon, or put the sermon in the fire. We need the fire to fall amongst us. We need the fire to fall again at Chapel of Change. We need the fire to fall in our cities. We need the fire to fall in our nation. We need the fire to fall at the White House. Hello, somebody. Someone say, let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. That is our prayer, my brothers and sisters. We are preparing for our 7-year anniversary as a church, and we're going to be celebrating through a Fresh Hope revival, and we're going to rent a big tent, and we're going to go old school, and we're going to put a tent in the grassy area, and we're going to make announcements that we're going to believe for healings, we're going to believe for deliverance, we're going to make announcements that we believe that God still heals, God still delivers, God still sets free. But my brothers and sisters, we need the fire to fall. We need the fire to fall. Without the fire, we can do nothing. Now let me dig into this just a little bit more, my brothers and sisters. Fire comes from God, but we need to keep it burning. Fire comes from God, but we need to keep it burning. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, fan into flames the spiritual gift of God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Fan into flames. Fan into flames. Fire comes from God, but we need to keep it burning. The kingdom of God needs Christians that are lit for Jesus. The kingdom of God needs some fireball type of Christians. Anybody want to be a fireball for God? Anybody want to be on fire for the kingdom? Fireball Christians, they burn up things in a good way. They burn up discouragement, burn up depression. Fireball Christians, they light up things. I want to light up rooms when I enter into rooms. I want to light up spaces when I enter into spaces. I want people to say, man, you too hot. God will send the fire, but we need to put wood in the fire to keep it burning. God will send the fire, but we need to put wood in the fire to keep it burning. Proverbs 26 verse 20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. If you don't put any wood in the fire, it's just a matter of time when all you'll have is ashes. Anybody following along? All some of us have left are ashes because we're not putting wood on the fire. Some of us, all we have in our marriages is ashes because we stop putting wood in the fire. Some of us, all we have in our relationships are ashes because we're not putting wood in the fire. Some of us have not been praying because we're not putting wood in the fire. Let me remind us, Chapel of Change, Bible reading is wood in the fire. Prayer is actually wood in the fire. Worship is wood in the fire. Living holy is wood in the fire. Saying no to sin and yes to God is wood in the fire. Lord, the Lord is sharing with us this morning that we need to feed the fire. Feed the fire. Feed the fire. Somebody has stopped feeding the fire and you're wondering why you're not been praying. You're wondering why you're not excited because you've stopped feeding the fire. Someone needs to feed the fire. Touch your neighbor, say, feed the fire. Feed the fire. I was thinking about this and the Lord began to kind of minister to my heart. And I want to give you what the Lord kind of put in my heart. Is that wood doesn't come cheap. Wood doesn't come cheap. My wife and I took the family to Big Bear last year. We rented a cabin and we were excited about the fireplace. And I automatically assumed because we were in the forest that wood was going to be easily accessible because there's trees all around us. How many of you know I was wrong? When I went up to Big Bear and I went to get ready for the fireplace to get it ready, I learned that I had to go to the store and pay for some wood. You know why? Because wood is not cheap. Wood doesn't come cheap. You got to work for the wood. You got to sacrifice for the wood. And sometimes you got to cut down the wood. And God has put it in my heart that some of us, we have been lazy. We don't want to pay the price to cut down the wood, cut down the tree, cut down the wood and put it in the fire. The Lord gave me this image of a giant tree. And he said, Brian, the reason why a lot of Christians are not on fire because they've been too lazy. They think because I spoiled them in one season that they're supposed to be spoiled in every season. No, it's time for some of them to get up and grab the axe and start chopping down some things to light their fire ablaze again. I want to remind us, church. I want to remind us that the church on the day of Pentecost was born in the fire. We were born in the fire. We are supposed to be people of the fire. And ashes won't do. Embers won't do. Flickering flames won't do. We need the fire of God burning in our hearts again. God, send the fire in our life. Ask God to send the fire in your heart. Ask God to send the fire in your marriage. Ask God to send the fire in your family. Lord, let your fire fall. Let the fire fall. Does anybody in the house today want the fire to fall in their life? You want to be a burning passion for the Lord. You want more of the presence of God in your mind, in your work, in your family, in your living room. So I want to bring this prayer back to us today. Let the fire fall. Let's bow our heads for a moment while everybody bows our heads and remains seated as the worship team comes back up. I want us to think about these words. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. With every head bowed and every eye closed, while everybody staying seated for a moment of reflection. As I was preparing for this message, the Lord gave me a scripture for somebody at the church. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to read this scripture and I want you to weigh it out. I want you to examine it if it applies to you. Revelations 3:15 says, Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. God put it in my heart that there are some people at our church that need to repent from lukewarm Christianity. I want to read you some signs of lukewarm Christianity. Spiritually lazy. Number two, live differently throughout the week than you do on Sunday. Number three, rather be accepted by the world than stand up for Jesus. Number four, you fit in more with the world than you do the kingdom of God. Number five, sign of lukewarm Christianity is you're not praying like you should be. You're not reading your Bible like you should be. And you're not engaged in the life of the church and ministry as you should be. You know God has called you. You know God has spared you. You should have been gone a long time ago, but the Lord gave you another chance. And He did not save you just so you could be a lazy Christian. He did not save you just so you could enjoy this life. He saved you so that He can get glory out of your life. He saved you so that you can serve Him with all your heart. He saved you so that He could use the rest of your days for the advancement of His kingdom. And I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but what we're going to do is, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anybody in here that feels that this message was for you and you need to repent from lukewarm Christianity, the mercy of the Lord is here. The grace of the Lord is here. What we're going to do is, the worship team is just going to worship lightly. But if anybody needs to repent, I'm going to open up the altar and you just have a one-on-one with God. If you don't need to repent, I encourage you to just stay at your seat and have this moment of reflection. Have this moment of worship. It's not too often where you get to pause and slow down. So this is a gift we want to give you. But if you need to repent, the altar is open. You can come and have a one-on-one with God. Let us reflect and worship the Lord for a couple moments.
You provide the fire. Now provide sacrifice. You provide the Spirit. And I will open up inside. You provide the fire. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill
While everybody remains in a spirit of worship, if anybody needs prayer for physical healing, anybody going through anything physical and you need prayer, I'm going to stand right here at the altar and provide prayer for anybody going through something physical. Everybody else, just remain in an atmosphere of prayer and worship right where you're at.
No.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for meeting us here. We thank you for your fire. Yes. We receive your fire. We receive it, Lord God. We receive it, Father. And we also make a commitment to feed the fire. We make a commitment to feed the fire. Lord, we make a commitment to feed the fire with regular Bible reading, regular prayer, fellowship with the brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord, feed the fire. Feed the fire, Lord God. I pray for marriages, Father. I pray for husband and wife to feed the fire. Give them the wisdom and the strength to feed the fire. Feed the fire. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone says, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise. God is good all the time. The Lord is really stressing that we need to feed the fire. We need to feed the fire. Anybody receive that? And does that resonate with anybody? Raise your hand if that resonates. You got to feed the fire. You got to feed the fire. So my encouragement to you is to take this word, examine it in your heart and say, Lord, what is it that I need to do to feed the fire at my life right now? What does that need to do? We are entering the last quarter of the year. September, October, November, December. We want to end strong, my brothers and sisters. We want to end this year strong. And so in order to end strong in December, you're going to have to feed the fire right now. You got to put the wood in right now. You got to right now. You got to snap out of it. You got to put the wood in right now. Whether that means going to Bible study, whether that means going to prayer, every Thursday night at 5 p.m., they're praying right here in the sanctuary. Whether that means going to the Woman's Abide, the Kingsmen Gathering, every Friday night, the men meet right here with Bible study in the lobby. There should be no reason why a man that goes to Chapel of Change should be alone on a Friday night. You should be feeding the fire through that Bible study. So I encourage you, just examine your life, because I want you, my prayer is that you end 2019 strong. Doesn't matter how you start it. Doesn't matter how you came into 2019. You could end it strong if you feed the fire. Someone say, praise the Lord.